Well, hello there, and thank you for tuning in to the Shameless Sex Podcast. I'm Amy, sex educator, somatic sex and relationship coach, and sex shop owner.
And I'm April, VP of an international high-end pleasure product company and boss queen sex toy mogul. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings.
With everything from how to be a badass in the bedroom, to pussy praising, to top tips for bringing your relationship to the next level, we have something just for you.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the show. Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more.
Sex. My favorite topic is sex.
It is my favorite topic, too.
It's a good one.
It's a really good one. And it really affects all of us because we came from sex. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Most of us have had sex if we are, 18 and up. Most of us.
I started masturbating when I was 7. No, wait. Let me rephrase that. 6.
Were you with fingers? What were you doing?
I was using a teddy bear named Barry. Got it for Christmas.
Your first relationship.
My first relationship was Barry the Bear. She had a dress.
Oh, it was a lady.
It was a lady
That's
bear.
Sweet. That's why you're like a heteroflexible.
That's, yeah, maybe Barry changed me. Barry, like B-E-A-R-Y, not B-A-R-R-Y.
Got it.
So welcome to Shameless Sex. We just want to share with you stories about our experiences as well and kind of create a space of openness and understanding and love from two women that are doing it the way we want to do it.
Yeah. Real talk, real shameless talk around sexuality. And this whole thing isn't just going to be about us. Let's talk about who we are so they don't think that we're just a whole bunch of loony people that want to talk about ourselves.
True. We actually have some credentials.
Yeah, we have some credentials.
And Amy, what are your credentials, darling?
Oh, starting with me. Well, so April and I have both been in the sex industry for
almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years now, yeah. And we wear many hats in the sex industry. I went to school for psychology and human sexuality. And originally, I took my very first human sexuality class with a terrible professor, like someone who literally tried to make the topic bland. But yet I still loved every single second of it. Every single textbook page I read, I was like, I love this. And if I'm going to continue going to school, I might as well go to school for something. Might as well go to school for something that I love. And I was already kind of that, which April is as well, that go-to source for your friends to come and talk about sexuality.
Absolutely.
Even before we were doing this.
Right.
That was, yeah. We have that kind of knack for open-ended conversations around sexuality, relationships, whatever.
We're just so relatable.
Yeah, well, we're like the, you know, the archetype, like the caretaker, caregiver, the fixer.
The fixers.
Yeah. So went on to go to school for psychology, human sexuality, and then when I was only around 23, opened up a sex shop with my mom, a mother-daughter-owned sex shop called Pure Pleasure Shop in Santa Cruz, and April was actually the very first person I hired.
Yay!
Yes, and she
changed my life.
Mm-hmm. She was not in the sex industry. It actually wasn't your passion. It wasn't that you didn't love it. It was just not your...
You introduced me to my passion.
And I gave her first vibrator.
And she gave me my first vibrator.
Like, you will work at my store and you will masturbate.
And you will have this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, I wish that I... And I am 4 years older than you? No.
No, you're only three. Two,
3 years older? 30. So you were 23, so I was like 25.
We are now 32 and 34.
Four, yeah. So my first vibrator was given to me at 25 years old, and I was wondering why it took so long. I was like, this is amazing. Why didn't I have this when I was 15?
Yeah, you're all
12,
from,
I don't know.
From Wisconsin, I guess the friends aren't handing them. You go to California, and girls like, you will be my friend, and the initiation is here as a vibrator.
Yes.
You must go masturbate.
I know. I'll be like, whoa.
Yes. So she got her first vibrator. She got a job. We both worked at Pure Pleasure together. And from there, the Cliff Notes version of that story is I became a sex educator. So now I'm a certified sex educator. I teach workshops, everything from sexual empowerment workshops and retreats to how-to classes, Blowjob 101 and
they're
Tantra
really amazing 101. Classes too.
Yeah.
You gave me so many good tips for blowjobs. Like when I've sat through several classes of yours, and I'm always learning and using techniques that are learned.
Suck a dick.
Yeah, get that dick in there.
Suck a dick.
Suck that dick.
Mm-hmm.
And she can deep throat a dildo like no other.
I'm mad.
Oh my god,
that's one of my credentials.
It's like sword swallowing 101. You are genius.
Apparently, I'm really good at sword swallowing. So I teach sex ed classes, and my most recent claim to fame is I am now a somatic sex and relationship coach through...
Can you explain somatic?
Somatic is the body. So okay. We use the body. So it's not just like I sit across the room from you and like, so how does that make you
so
feel?
So you're actually like doing like work with your hands on the body.
I'll touch people in a very consensual PG-13 way. You know, if I'm going to teach you about how to receive, because so many people are terrible at receiving. They're right. So in their heads, they feel like they're unworthy of just relaxing and receiving. If this is you. You are normal, because there's so many people that identify with that. I would have them lay down on my couch, and then I would touch them over their clothes and very slowly and check in with the thoughts that are going through them. And sometimes they just go into tears because they're like, I literally can't do this. I feel like I don't deserve this, and I need to be doing something to you or for you.
Wow.
That's an example. So somatic, really checking with the body, using the body as one of the modalities for healing old attachment wounds, and which we all have.
Yeah, I know I do.
Yeah. So now I work with clients one-on-one, or also sometimes with couples, and in my private practice. I teach my workshops. I still co-own Pure Pleasure with my mom. I wear so many little hats. I just imagine my head with all these tiny little
hats.
And
you also have an amazing lube connection.
Oh, yeah. I also work with Uber Lube, the best lube company ever. If
really
you've
is.
Never used Uber Lube, go Google uberlube.com right now. Get that stuff.
Made in Chicago. It's beautiful, beautiful lubricant.
Ava.
So good.
Ava. And we'll talk about Uber plenty of times. But let's talk about April and why the fuck she's doing this.
What am I doing? So for me, as Amy mentioned, I grew up in little old Wisconsin.
Yeah, she's Wisconsin. Sometimes when she drinks wine, her accent comes
out. Oh, I'm like, hey, Amy, what's she doing over here? Yeah. Oh, my. Never that thick, hopefully. I've been working really hard to not do that. So I actually studied environmental law and was going to be a lawyer. Moved out to California, met Amy, who pretty much changed the course of my direction in life.
By
so,
one vibrator at
by
a time.
By one vibrator. And she, when we worked together, because Amy and I, we've been close besties for, I mean, now 10 years, which
we're
is amazing.
We're like soul sisters.
We're sisters.
We're pretty sure that we were some sort of like warrior queens in a past life.
Right. We were definitely
side
related.
Side.
Yeah. Like twins for sure.
We were definitely doing some powerful shit back in the day.
For sure. And we had this amazing connection, and she was talking about this dream of opening a sex shop. And I was like, I'm really good at like, I can merchandise. Like I know how to shop too.
She's really good with fashion people. Really good. She looks great.
So anyway, I worked there, and then long story being short, I loved it. I like really enjoyed talking to people about sex, like in the stores. I had never been in that space before. I'd never talked to, I mean, I was in a monogamous relationship with then now my ex-boyfriend, because this is back in what, like 2007? Was that when that was 2007, right?
Yes.
2007.
2008 we opened. So yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I had this like long-term boyfriend. We were very shy, both Midwestern folks that were like...
Now, when you say very shy, I'd like to just comment on the fact that when we open the conversations around sexuality, they came really natural to you. And that's not normal, normal is the wrong word, but for a lot of people, those conversations are about practice. You
right.
know, we're so good talking shamelessly about sexuality because we're well practiced. We've been doing it for a long time. And you were natural at it. So I don't know, can you care to comment that you think you were well practiced?
I would say, well, I was always comfortable talking about sexual experiences, but with the monogamous partner that I had at the time,
so
I was
not
never
just like a general public.
Right, right.
But you just dropped right into it. I did.
It was my calling. Like it was 100% my calling to talk to people about orgasms and sex and what's going to make them feel good, because I love when people are happy and like experiencing like moments of excitement. So that was like just naturally, it was like stoked on.
You're big on inspiring people.
Yeah, I love it.
You love that.
I live for that. I do. I'm like, are you happy? Are you inspired?
This is why April's also a motivational speaker. So if you ever need to be uplifted, listen to her, and she will literally make you feel like you're flying high.
I definitely get off on that. I love it so much. So from working in the sex shop, Amy and I used to go to trade shows together and do buying in like Los Angeles, Las Vegas. And from there, I got a job with this amazing German toy company called Fun Factory as their director of sales, traveled all over the world selling dildos. And then recently... I switched to working for, I'm basically the VP of this company called Hot Octopus in London. So I sell...
What is a Hot Octopus?
Hot Octopus is our brand name. So we sell what's called the Pulse 3. They're male masturbators. It's using this amazing pulse plate technology. I don't want to bore everybody, but just go check out the website, hotoctopus.com, because our products are revolutionary, innovative. They're groundbreaking.
It's a guybrator. It's called a guybrator. So just we'll leave you with that and go check it out. And then you'll be like,
dang. And we're launching a bunch of new awesome products this year.
That aren't for female bodies.
They're for female bodies. And they're very sexy and just amazing. And I found my calling with being in the sex toy industry. I love it. It's amazing. And I love the moment of giving someone the perfect toy that makes their lives better and happy. Mm-hmm. So, and being the VP, I mean, I'm basically running this company. So I have, I'm a professional woman that still travels all over the world selling masturbators, and I couldn't be happier. And bringing that happiness and joy and finding my power has made me like such an amazing woman. And I've been divorced.
Ah, divorced too. Wait, I want to comment another thing on the business part, because you're kind of like a motherfucking boss queen.
Oh, shit.
So April was also voted Woman of the Year in our sex toy industry because she kills it.
Thank you.
She goes for it. So we have this whole thing that I'm an opener and she's a closer, because she literally could talk you into buying your dirty sock from yourself.
But only about things I'm passionate about.
Exactly. Only from an authentic space.
Yes. It's always authentic and genuine, 100%.
And I think that it goes hand in hand with the concept of what this podcast is about. It's just empowerment in general. It's not necessarily just about female empowerment. We're just about empowerment and for all individuals around sexuality.
And changing your sex is something that everybody does and that everybody, you know, well, for the most part, most folks are partaking in, and we all got here somehow
or have from it.
Right. So I think that once you find your power through sex and talking about sex, you can find your power in so many different aspects of your life.
Well, I always think of sexuality as this thing, like if you actually visualize it, I feel like it's almost this thing that runs at our core, like literally runs through our whole body, our whole being in the middle of us. And then all the other parts of us, this is just my opinion, people. I don't know if this has been proven.
You're onto something great.
But all, brilliant. So all the other parts of us, you know, our spiritual self, our emotional self, our business drive, whatever it is, they're all connected to this core. And when we hurt our sexuality, our sexuality is really low, our feelings about ourselves as a sexual being, the rest of ourselves are kind of suffering. But when we build that up, all of a sudden we're stronger. We're like, I'm an empowered sexual being, and now I can ask for what I want in business. And now I can 100%. Speak my mind about my emotions and like what I need. And now whatever it is, I can like seek out my higher calling with spirit. And of course, the reverse too, right? Like, you know, the other parts of ourselves, when we build them up, it can build ourselves up as a sexual being. In my personal opinion, it really just runs so deep in us. And also, it's the easiest thing to target. So many people have sexual trauma and have a lot of sexual shame. And when that's there, it really just diminishes and really harms so many parts of ourselves. So the premise of this podcast is shameless sex, and the foundation of that really is the empowerment piece.
Absolutely.
And we'll get into this in a second about our own journey because we have not always been empowered.
No.
No, no, no. We needed to go through the darkness, you know, the heartbreak. You've been divorced. My heart's been broken many times.
Right.
I got pregnant and had an abortion. You know, all those things to become
stronger. I had an affair
stronger.
And then had divorce. Yeah.
I've cheated. Yeah. All those things. We are not angels, people. We are not angels. And we have learned from all of these parts of ourselves. They're all important parts of our story.
And we create a space where there's no shame in those experiences. Those experiences shape you. And as long as you learn from them and you catch the beauty in everything, it might not be beautiful while it's happening, but if you can just look into it and realize why those things happen, why the cheating, there's so many different situations it's a loaded life. Your life is filled with moments of vulnerability.
Yeah, and there's this idea that I always like to push. So you're humans that they are a slave to their mind, right? So they're like, I feel and therefore it's truth. Like, I'm angry and that's just how I am. Or like, you know, this is just the way I am, is what they say. There's something that comes up. There's some like wall or barrier that they run into, and this is just how I am. It's just me, and just deal with it. So there's those people. Not my favorite kind of people.
That's
bullshit. But they're common, and they're very fearful of going in and doing the work to undo the layers of all the bullshit, all the shame that life has given them, to make it so that they can't really tap into the deepest expression of themselves. And then there's your humans that make their slave, or no, their mind, their slave. Their slave, yes. So it's I think and I feel. Why do I think and I feel?
Like, that's
why?
Exactly the best place to come from and to be. Question.
And that one's a lot of work, mm-hmm. right? So now we see that and we're like, I think and I feel, huh, let me look deeper into that. Let me like read some books and talk to some people and out my vulnerability. Maybe get a great therapist. Maybe listen to an awesome podcast called Shameless Sex with Amy and April.
Yeah.
And get some inspiration to look deeper into myself. And April and I both identify as that person.
Yes.
And it's not that much. It's not always smooth sailing. Like we hit rock bottom.
And we talk a lot about doing the work. That really is kind of doing the self-reflection, using tools like such as books or other podcasts or just
support
from folks that are also living in that mind space of
professionals.
Yeah. I mean, like these types of tools and the stuff that we're talking about. Yes. We're going to talk about like fun, like anal sex.
How to get
the best blowjob and taking open questions about sex. And we're going to talk about our experiences and our being single ladies. But at the same time, it's also coming from this place of love, less fear, and shameless sex or shameless lifestyle rather than a shameful way of life.
And we've seen the power of embracing our, I wouldn't want to say flaws, but like, our flaws, you know, our moments when we kind of like take a step back and we're like, oh, I'm not being my most awesome sexual self.
Right.
Like I'm making choices that feel really selfish or really thoughtless.
I check
careless.
In with myself on a regular being single
but
now.
We haven't always done that.
No, not at all. Yeah. I was always coming up like a lot of times. I can speak from past experience when I was in a situation, an exchange. I mean, I'd only slept with four people. My husband was the fourth man that I had slept with. I had been with a couple women.
You guys just got divorced last year. So at 30.
No, we're still technically.
Getting divorced.
I mean, it takes 20 minutes to get married, everybody, and about a year and a half to get divorced. So FYI, about.
In case you're thinking of getting married tomorrow.
Yeah.
So at age 33 then, you had only slept with four people and you had been married and were getting a divorce.
Yes. And on a side note, I also do want to just have a disclaimer here. My ex-husband's amazing human, amicable, super loving. And
I just love that human. He's one of my favorite humans. He's such a sweetheart. He worshiped the ground that she walked on. He is also a pussy whisperer, because my pussy knows. Her pussy told me.
Yeah, I told her. But we just grew apart that there was, you know, some affair stuff involved, which I'll talk about, but not, I mean, it's no shame in it. I regret nothing about what I experienced with him, and I really don't regret getting married. Zero regrets. Yeah, it was part of my journey, and I appreciate every moment. So I just wanted to clarify that on a side note.
I think that that's really important, and also to realize like when we are having such a hard moment in our lives, you're like, oh, I'm going through extreme heartbreak. Like, fuck this motherfucker for breaking my heart, and I have been in those moments.
Right.
I've been the heartbreaker and had my heart broken. It's hard to remember at that time that it's serving some sort of like greater good or higher purpose. And so maybe in that moment you're not going to remember, but at some point later on down the road, if you choose to look at it as I'm growing and this is something that's helping to shape me as the being that I am, that's where the empowerment comes in.
There was one quote that when I was going through my breakup with my now ex-husband or soon to be ex-husband, any moment now, ex-husband. plus, I just like the term divorcee. I'm like, I'm a divorcee.
You sound like you're at 60 and you have one of those really long Virginia
like a golden cigarettes. Girl. Yeah. Like a golden girl.
Blanche.
I'm Blanche. I'm totally Blanche. No, but I just think that...
She lost her train of thought. Let's just out the vulnerability. You know, let's just move on. So, So this is something I've been talking about with clients lately. There's been a couple of themes this week. One is outing vulnerability and the power of vulnerability. The other one is outing the awkward.
Yeah, right? That was awkward. Like, that was good.
So let me talk about this. Actually, today I was teaching a client about how to be dominant. And so I was actually showing him, he was there with his partner, but she was in another room while I was working with him. And so I was showing him how to throw a woman against the wall because a lot of women want to be ravished. They're just like, oh, fucking ravish me. So I threw him against the wall at first and he's like, this is not your first rodeo. I had to practice this all day long in somatica.
That's hot. I'm getting excited.
And then he had to practice on me and he was throwing me against the wall and he was a little hesitant, but he did a great job actually. And so what I said is when you go and practice this, out the awkward, out your mistakes, or like when you think that you've slipped up, like, well, that was a little, that wasn't that great, but let's like laugh about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like outing, that's part of owning the vulnerability. And that actually gives a great segue into April just fucking up because she's a human, into the power of vulnerability. And again, kind of the premise of this podcast is, the deeper that we can go into our vulnerability, the more profound connections that we can have. Like, I've had so many experiences when I've exposed all of my cracks and all my flaws, and it's fucking terrifying because the fear is they might not love me.
Oh, wait, I remember now.
Okay, here, okay, fuck that.
With death comes rebirth. That was what it was. See?
I don't even know what it's talking about now.
With every experience, when you experience something, there's always going to be growth from every experience. Even when it seems like something's ending, something else will begin. That's deep,
rebirth.
Amazing
that's
stuff. That's, yeah, I'm so happy I remembered that.
Oh,
yay!
Well done. All right. So with death comes rebirth, everyone. April is amazing. Her thoughts came back to her. Back to vulnerability. So let's out some vulnerability.
Okay.
All right, let's play a game.
All right.
I'm going to out something that's really vulnerable, and then you're going to out something that's vulnerable, and we'll just keep going back and forth for a little bit and see what
all
happens.
All right, okay.
All right. So my first one, I may have already talked about this on here because I'm not remembering what I've been talking about. In December, I had an abortion, and I found out, mid-November that I was pregnant. I had the IUD. I got pregnant on the IUD with my partner.
Miraculously, impossible.
Yeah, with my
partner. 98%?
99. So I'm part of the 1%.
Whoa.
And
you had that thing for a long time, too.
9 years, you can have it for 12. I had the non-hormonal IUD.
Okay, okay.
And I got pregnant by my partner, who I'd been with for 3 years, but we were going through a heavy time when we actually were considering and currently aren't together, but at that time it was a make or break, and we're like, are we doing this, or are we walking away from each other? We had some pretty heavy stuff going on. So of course the universe got me pregnant too. Got pregnant, had to be pregnant for an entire month before I could have the abortion. Knew I was going to have an abortion right away, not only because of where my partner and I were at, but I just don't know if I ever want to have kids. And I had an abortion, and I have no shame about it at all. The hardest part about it, other than the discomfort of having someone inside of your uterus kind of pumping it to pull this, I don't know if it was, I guess it was fetus at that point, because it was eight weeks,
yes,
pregnant.
I think so.
Was the fact that that my partner and I kind of ended after that. He left after 10 days. He knew he was leaving. He wasn't because of that, but he was already planning on being gone for 2 months. And feeling like not only was I having an abortion, but I also was feeling abandoned by this person.
And you've never really wanted children. That was never been
I've always cards. I've always been like, I don't know if it's my jam. I'm like,
right,
puppies, yay, children, So right. I'm not the baby hater. Some people think I am. I'm not a baby hater, but it just wasn't fitting into my life. And so I honestly have no shame about that. But I do think it's an important practice for me to out that for myself so that I don't somehow create shame around it. So that's one piece of my shame. Ready, set, go. What's yours?
Well, as I mentioned, this is probably one of the most, when it happened, most groundbreaking piece of experience of my life was having an affair and cheating on my husband. Mm. So that being said, it was a long-term thing. I was with my husband, my ex-husband, for 7 years, and I basically was cheating on him with someone else for 6 months, and then I finally outed myself. I choose to live my life with integrity, and lying to someone that I loved so much and cared for was really difficult for me, and so I decided to just come clean. But in that coming clean portion, I realized the reasons sort of that why I was having the affair was I was lacking something major that was missing from my relationship, it wasn't easy. I mean, I laid on the ground wanting to die basically at a time. I mean, it was so hard, and therapy was what really kind of made me better, slowly, just a week session, because there was so much shame. I mean, I had a ton of blame from him because I did out myself. So there was all this blame, and it was constant reminder of what I did. So I was living in a space of shame. It was hard for me to overcome, but I did so much work to understand and recognize, okay, that all happened for a reason. It's okay. I'm not a horrible person. At the opposite, I'm a loving, amazing human that made, you know, a decision. And it was really to offset like a relationship that was beautiful, but was time to move on from. And there was nothing that, I think that's one thing I also learned. Sometimes it's harder to leave a relationship when it feels good, but it's not serving every aspect that you need it to. That was really, I'm not afraid anymore to say that. I was really secretive about my affair for a long time. And it's been about a year now that it came, you know, surface, a year and a couple of months. So at first I didn't tell anyone, only shared with a few friends. And now I'm very open sharing with all of you, because I think it's important to learn from those things. And, you know, I was always the one that was like, oh, never, like, what was the, what, once a cheater, always a cheater, all that, you know, that like kind of angry, weird.
So angry.
I definitely changed my perspective in that. So
yeah, that's again the empowerment piece of learning from our lessons. And I would just like on that note to comment how common cheating is. And I'm not saying, hey, everyone, it's common, so you should go out and cheat. But the reason why a lot of people are cheating isn't just because they're horny and they want to go fuck someone else. It's usually because there's something missing in their relationship. There's some sort of something that they're not communicating, that they can't address or is missing. And so they go and seek it out elsewhere. And maybe they're doing it when they could have addressed something and they're just afraid to have that communication, that transparency, because their partner might leave them or not love them. Or maybe they have communicated it. And like, right. I had an experience as well. I have cheated. I haven't cheated by having penetrative sex with someone else, but I have definitely had emotional love affairs, like, you know, same thing, like 6 months of just like, which is to me feels just as guilty. I justify it still though. It's like, well, we didn't have sex, so it's fine. But, and usually it was coming from something that was missing in my relationship that I wasn't vocalizing. You know, one came out of being in a relationship that wasn't intellectually stimulating enough for me. And I was young and I didn't really understand the degree of that. So I met someone that was really intellectually stimulating, really witty, and started this emotional love affair with them. And it grew. You know, we'd write like 2-page emails to each other every day. And it was like really just filling my cup of just like filling me up. And eventually I did actually physically stray from my partnership and then ended that partnership right away. And my most recent experience of cheating was a little bit of like a flirtatious emotional love affair, but it was after I had voiced to my partner that they were not showing up for me. Like I had let them know, you're not present for our relationship. You're not showing up for me. Like I don't see you. You're not emotionally here. You're choosing yourself but over us all the time. You're not physically here half the time. And I'm starting to notice other people and have this desire to be with them. Like I let them know before I physically touch other people that that's starting to happen, because I can tell that there's something missing here that that I'm craving. And they said they were threatened by it. But then they were like, we'll fix that, no fixing. And so then I did venture out. And I think that's really common.
And we are going to address in this podcast tools for communication with your partner, tools to help you if you're having those types of emotions, or perhaps you have somebody at work that you're flirting with and you're like, wow, where could this go? Yeah. I mean, you have to look at all aspects of your situation and your relationship, and you have to do the work. You can't. The one thing that you have to remember is like brushing things under the rug, which I was a professional sweeper of the the rugger.
Me too. So, or like justifying
things. Oh yes. Yeah. So I didn't communicate my feelings to my partner properly, and I brushed it under the rug. I'm an expert at running, not anymore. Now I'm addressing things head on and being super communicative in the hookups that I've been having. I'm super communicative about where I'm at. And I think that is something that we will talk about more, you know, in future podcasts, but it is, it's difficult, and communication's key. Mm-hmm. So you're gifted with communication, Amy. You have like,
well, gifted. I wasn't just gifted. I'm also well practiced. Right. And this is one thing I was commenting on the beginning of the podcast is we were not born this way, people. Like this is something that we put a lot of time and work, and maybe we were raised more open in regards to our communication. Like, I would definitely was not raised with a lot of shame around sexuality.
Right.
My mom.
I was.
You were. Okay.
Now my mom owns a vibrator.
I'm like, now yeah, your mom's girl, like, my daughter works for the sex toy company.
She's like, wee.
This is fun. Yeah, my mom definitely made it a safe place for me to go to her and talk to her about sexuality. It wasn't about pleasure, but if I need, when I wanted to get on birth control, she was like, just come to me. There's no shame about it. My dad allowed me to have boyfriends over, and he was never like, I don't know, I need to meet that guy before. He actually just didn't give a fuck. So it was like the opposite, like completely emotionally unattached, and that's why I have daddy issues. love him to death. That's a whole nother podcast. We'll get into that another time. But so that was already there. But the practice part, like sex is a practice. Sex is a meditation. I mean, fucking, of course, it can be a meditation too, as long as we stay present for what we're doing. But when we get good at sex, it's because we're well practiced. This is why sluts are fucking awesome.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
there's no slut shaming ever. We love sluts.
Because they know what they're fucking doing.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they're highly skilled.
And we say cunt every once in a while, too. There's nothing wrong with the word cunt.
Or pussy.
Or cock.
Pussy.
In certain countries, cunt's like, dude.
Hey, cunt.
What up, cunt?
What are you doing, gang? Yeah, so well practiced. We've been putting a lot of time in practice. And so communication around sexuality is also a skill. And it isn't something that necessarily comes natural to us, especially if we have shame.
I'm still fine-tuning my skills, for sure. But I think that I'm getting better and better. Each situation when I explain myself gets better and better. Because practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, they say, like...
I like Brené Brown. She says, perfectly imperfect.
Practice
perfectly imperfect.
It's true. She's amazing.
She's brilliant. Brené Brown. She writes a lot of stuff on worthiness, shame. Brené Brown, TED Talks. Look
yes,
it.
Amazing.
It. Yeah. Yeah, so we are well practiced, and we're still practicing. We are lifers at this practice.
Absolutely.
Of getting more and more empowered every day. And sometimes it's two steps forward, one step back. Like, sometimes we do a stupid ass shit where we're like, are we 15 right now?
Right.
Did we really just do that?
Right.
Are you serious? And so, again, back to the premise of this podcast is, we want to share all of that with you, and we're not just going to talk about ourselves. We're going to actually, like, bring in some speakers and have, like, specific
and
topics.
And also just provide tools from life experience, from the work that we've done that's been successful. Educationally speaking. It's just really just to feel empowered and to remove the shame from your life. Everybody wants that. Remove the shame. Remove the fear. Feel good about your vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
They exist for a reason. They make you who you are, and you're beautiful. You're amazing. You're amazing, Amy.
A for amazing.
Yay.
Yeah, so with the hopes that as we talk about things and you see that we speak about sexuality as if it is just a normal everyday conversation, that it can be that for you too. And then through that, you can do the same for your community or around your loved ones or your partners and help to inspire that. That really is our hope, is to really inspire more shame-free conversation, just shame-free approach.
And just help people transcend into higher levels of existence. Better. Who doesn't want to have a better life, live a happy life, live a beautiful life? And it all is connected to yourself, sometimes to sex, sometimes to communication with others, but really just creating that balance of bliss and beauty. And I know sometimes it sounds like super hippie or like spiritual, but it is so true.
Oh, like, I love spiritual words like transformation and authenticity,
right?
Synchronicity.
And I'm like the opposite of a hippie.
Integrity.
Like, if you see me, I'm like, I wear leather boots. I'm like, what?
I'm like a half hippie, people. I make my own deodorant and I wear Palo Santo.
I wear some perfume.
April, I come over to her house and she's like, girl, we need to dress you up.
And I'm like, get rid of those yoga pants. You've been in those for 3 days.
But I love yoga pants. No, I have like 20 pairs. Is this not? I don't wear the same one every day.
All right, yeah. She's got a lot of pairs. I have about 150 pairs of shoes, okay?
That's true. She has a whole room dedicated to shoes and clothes. So that's just a little bit about us.
A lot about us. There you go. Now you get it all exposed.
So do we have anything else you want to say about vulnerability?
So about vulnerability. One time when I was 17, I ripped my labia in half.
Ooh, yeah.
So I was super shameful about the look of my vulva.
Before that or after that?
After that.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, no. I was like, I totally was like, fine with it. I didn't really get in there and look at it super hard. But when I was, it was a sex accident when we were camping with my first boyfriend, And we used a grab bag of condoms from Planned Parenthood when they used to, I don't know if they even do that anymore. I'm 34. That was 17. So it was a while ago. And it was unlubricated. Oh, and we were drunk, put it on, and it just tore my labia in half. I had to be rushed to the emergency room. Oh, listen to this. Rushed to the emergency room at 3 a.m. in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Then I'm on my dad's insurance, and he was like, what happened to you in the Poconos? I was like, it's like poke. Oh, no.
My labia ripped in that Pocono.
I was like, I fell on a stick.
You used the I fell line?
I mean, I literally, it was a stick. It just was attached to a human. It was at 17.
I didn't know that line actually was used.
I mean, he was like, why did you need stitches? I was like,
Did you know it was your labia?
No. Okay. I told him later on in life because I have no shame now. But back then when I was 17, I was like, and then I couldn't walk. I had to walk with a cane, and my vulva swelled up like this size of a softball.
Jesus.
It was crazy. Now I have a nice scar and I'm so happy about it. I love my vulva now. I'm like, you are beautiful. And I love you, vulva.
Pussy praise.
Pussy praise.
All right,
praise
fun fact, people. We're going to do a whole episode on pussy praising.
And we love pussy praising.
We love pussy praising and cock praising. And this is just what I like to say is pussies have so much shame. So much shame. And like, I mean, genitals in general, but like pussies especially, even if they're like, there's this idea that they should look a certain way, they should smell a certain way. Pussies come in all different shapes and colors. Some of them have trauma and physical trauma. Some of them have a scent that's different than the next one. The scent changes based on hormones.
I have vulnerability based around my vagina scent.
You have vulnerability or you have insecurity?
Insecurity, yeah. I'm getting better. Like, there's vulnerability behind that as well. I mean, I always am like, does it smell? Does it smell? I like do all these things. But now I'm starting to realize
that's because someone shamed you.
Right,
Yeah, so like a partner shamed you and told you that your pussy didn't smell good.
And now I'm like, I love the smell of my pussy.
So this is what you do, people. If you're with a pussy or a cock that you love and you want to go down on it or you want to have sex with it, you praise that motherfucking pussy or that cock.
That
and when you're you get your face down in front of it, you say, I love the smell of your pussy. I love the taste of your pussy. I could do this all day
long.
Oh my God.
Every day.
Love hearing that. Even cocks too. And I hope they don't hold you to that. If you ever take one of my blowjob classes, you know that I say this. Tell the motherfucking cock or the pussy that you could do it all day or for hours or something, because it gets rid of that pressure and that shame of I'm taking too long, that performance anxiety. And I hope they don't hold you to it and make
and
you
and give the balls some love as well.
I'll give balls. Well, we're going all over balls. All the things. Yeah. Really, get rid of the shame, people. Anything that you can do to let some...
Look at yourself. Take a mirror and just look at your vulva, because your vulva's on the outside, your vagina's on the inside, FYI, if you didn't know that.
Yeah,
vulva is what you're
looking at.
Two labia and a clitoris. That's what a vulva consists of.
There might be more going on. I don't know. Maybe.
Of course. This is true. This is
so many variations.
Right. There are variations. And no matter what you look like, just know that you're beautiful. Yeah. Take a mirror. Praise yourself. Be like, I love this pussy.
Yeah.
Or this cock. Or this.
Or whatever you use.
Whatever
maybe you have a different word that you use for your bits. Like, I like bits. That's one of my favorite words for genitals because it describes everything.
Your best bits.
Bits can be your pussy, your cock, your ass, your hoo-hoo, and your yes-yes, and your... Whatever you want to call it.
I totally, I'm starting to get to know my ass more, and I just love my ass.
Are you exploring it on your own?
Yeah, my butthole.
With your own finger?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Why not?
How is it?
It's pretty great.
Yeah?
Yeah. It gets all relaxed sometimes.
Well, the asshole actually has as many nerve endings as your lips. So, like, I mean, there's a lot of sensations that can happen there.
And then sometimes anal licking. That's fabulous.
Oh, the year of anal licking.
The year of anal licking.
That was a year
If you ever want to know, 2016 was a year of anal licking.
Oh, let's give some praise to Emily.
This is true. So... Amy and I, the reason that we basically, I mean, besides loving talking to each other about sex and shame-free sex, we were on a podcast together January of 2017.
Yeah. Yeah, it's if you go, so it's Sex with Emily, Dr. Emily Morse, sexwithemily.com.
She's had her own show on Bravo. She's amazing.
She's incredible.
Such an amazing
woman.
And
we had the pleasure of being invited to go on her show with her. So it was the three of us having shameless sex talk.
Absolutely.
It was totally shameless sex talk, and it was wonderful. And we left that really inspired to create our own. But we really love Emily, and we suggest that you go and check out her podcast.
She's basically fabulous. And check out her podcast, Sex with Emily.
Yeah.
It's on iTunes. And also, you should check out our website, shamelesssex.com.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be putting lots of fun photos of us. You can see that April's really great with fashion. I love yoga pants.
And you can also get tools that we'll have
blog
for you. We'll blog. We'll have all the things.
All the things.
All the things.
You also notice we say all the things a lot.
So what else do we have today?
I think we covered some amazing things. I'm just trying to think if we have any more vulnerability that we need to go into.
I mean, I have so many layers.
But
I think the message, and we'll talk about some of our vulnerabilities throughout our podcast because they will come up and we address them and we value them and we realize that these things are what makes us grow and what helps us be the empowered, wonderful people that we are.
Well, as the hippies say, the cracks is where the light get in, right? So like,
The
cracks is, I didn't say that right, but the cracks are where the light gets in, right? So we need to really go through those parts of ourselves, the darkness and the imperfections.
With death comes rebirth.
Oh yeah, what she said. With death comes rebirth, that these are the things that make us who we are. They're part of our story. They're part of our journey. They make us stronger. Sometimes they feel like they're making us weaker, and at the end of the day, if we embrace them in a shameless way, they really create a lot of empowerment, and we can attest to that. We really identify with that, and we hope to inspire the same in you.
I know that I am my most empowered self, for sure.
Yeah, but you're getting better all the time. So every day. Yeah, every day it's just, I'm more empowered.
Better and better. Well, what do you think, Amy?
I think we're going to close it for the day.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in and spending an hour with Amy and I talking about all the things.
All the things and more to come. And we look forward to sharing more vulnerability with you soon. Like what you hear? Well, then head on over to shamelesssex.com for more podcasts and information on our latest happenings.